Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you are interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Well, hey, good morning, church. Hey, it's great to be with you. My name is Scott, and those of you that are joining us online, I want to say welcome to you as well, and good morning to you. You know, we get the chance to kind of continue this series today called Living on Purpose. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at this idea that there is a personal purpose that we have. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the story of Jonah and how God gave Jonah a purpose and a mission, and it was very crystal clear. And Jonah said, I'm going to go the other way. And we have that option. That's something that we can choose, to run from God. But last week, Denny then talked about not our personal purpose, but then our purpose as a group, all of us gathered. And I couldn't help but think, as he talked about that last week, I read this quote studying for the message this week. It goes perfectly with what Denny shared. This quote said this, the church doesn't have a mission. The mission, God's mission, has a church. Think about that for a second. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission of God has a church, and it's our responsibility, us as the church, to be a part of the mission that God has for the world, to redeem the world, to save the world. And so today, we're going to jump back into this idea of a personal mission. So we're going to be back and forth. We're going to be looking at our mission as individuals, and then the church, and then us as individuals. Again, that's how we're going to kind of weave through this entire service. And so today, if you brought your Bibles with you, we're going to spend some time in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. If you've never read the book of Nehemiah, it won't take you long to read through the book. It's just several chapters, but it's a great story of purpose. And Nehemiah had a purpose, but it's not a purpose that was revealed in the way that you would think a purpose would be revealed. Today, we're going to look at this first chapter of Nehemiah, and we're going to study, and we're going to look for three questions that reveal our purpose, that if we'll ask these three questions in our own lives, it will actually reveal and show us our purpose. For me, I got to be honest, I've struggled with this idea of purpose my entire life. Here's why. As a kid, I know this may be hard for some of you to believe, I talked a lot. I got in trouble a lot. When the teacher would say, I remember this one story, the teacher in class said, hey, today it was a math lesson, which I love math, but she said, today we're going to look at averages. And so I'm going to start a 1 minute timer. She said, everybody get a buddy, and we're going to look at averages, and I want you to count the number of times that the person across from you blinks. You count their blinks, and then I'll start the timer again, and they'll count your blinks, and we're going to figure out averages, how many times per minute the average person blinks. And I remember my partner, her name was Carrie Jacobs, and so Carrie went first, and I was going to count. And so, you know, teacher started the timer, ready, set, go, and, you know, Carrie sat there, and I'm like, okay, there's one. Kind of waited, like there's two. And by the time the minute had passed, she had blinked like, you know, 13 times. And so she said, now she switched places. And the other person is going to count. And the teacher said, ready, set, go. And I went, right? And I'll never forget it. Like, so she's counting like crazy. You know, she's counting every blink. And so then she goes to the chalkboard and she's writing down the number of blinks. Like, okay, you know, Stephen, you know, 13. Jonathan, you know, 9. You know, Tabitha, 17. Scott, 96, baby, 96. Right? And I remember the teacher just putting her chalk up against the chalkboard and turning around and looking at me. And then writing, almost breaking her chalk. 96, right? Stories like that, my childhood is filled with stories like that where I stood out. And it wasn't always good. And because of that, I've wrestled my entire life, even my adult life, I've wrestled with my purpose. God, why did you make me like this? Why did you make these things important to me? Why did you make me see things like this? And I've wrestled with my purpose. And if you've ever wrestled with your purpose, If you've ever felt like, well, everybody else has this, and everybody else sees it like this, everybody else has this together, I don't. God, how would God use me? How would God have a purpose? This story is for you. And even if you've never wrestled with that, maybe you're in a season where you're wondering about your purpose. Maybe you've been through a transition. Maybe you're going through a transition. Maybe things haven't worked out in your life like you thought they would. There's a purpose for you, and there's a purpose for all of us. And if we'll ask these three questions, I believe it will reveal our purpose. So let's jump in to the book of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. Now, pause here real quick. I love stories like this because they give us context, they give us historical names and cities, which tell us from the very beginning, this actually happened. These events took place. We can also put those in the context of history and what was happening. And so if you're one of those skeptics of the Bible, you're like, I don't know, is this one of those stories? No, this isn't one of those stories, one of these allegories, this embellished thing. This actually happened. God's people had been really exiled, and they're all spread out, and now they're all feeling like, okay, it's safe to go back to Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah hears about Jerusalem, and the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down, which for us, we drive by, you know, buildings that are, you know, walls are torn down all the time. But for them, this was everything. This was their protection. This was how, if they didn't rebuild these walls, they were not going to stay safe. They couldn't gather then together safely as a people, and their future was in jeopardy. So Nehemiah hears this, and he asks his brothers, and here's what they say to me. Hey, look, those who had survived the exile, they're back in the province, and they are in great trouble, and they are in disgrace because the walls of Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been hurt, have been burned with fire. Nehemiah then gives us a peek into what God's doing in his life when Nehemiah writes these words. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. Now, I believe the beginning, just the very few verses, the beginning of this chapter, reveal to us the first question that we can ask to discover our purpose. If you're wondering, what's my purpose? What's my place? What should I be doing? Am I in the right space? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? I believe that these first few verses reveal to us the question that if we ask ourselves, it'll help us discover our purpose. And here's the question. If you ask yourself this, what breaks my heart? What breaks my heart? Nehemiah heard about the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. And he sits down and he cries and he weeps. Now, for me, I'm not going to say that it always translates like that, like, oh, and then, you know, I get home and, you know, I throw my stuff down on the counter and then I lay on the kitchen floor and my wife's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm discovering my purpose. I'm not saying that it's like that every time. But ask yourself this question. Maybe this would be a great lunch question to ask. Hey, you know, can you pass me, you know, the bratwurst? Real quick, what breaks your heart? Now, honestly, if we ask that question, some of us know right away what breaks my heart. We know, we can identify. I'm looking around the room and I can see some of you. I know you have figured out the answer to this question. But answering this question begins to reveal our purpose. And for Nehemiah, what broke his heart was hearing that his brothers and sisters and the people in Jerusalem, they were in danger. The walls of Jerusalem had been broken down, the gates had been burned, and they were in trouble. Nehemiah sat down and he wept. And then it goes on. Some days it says he sat down and wept. And then the text goes on to say, for some days, for several days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, I'm kind of speeding through this part because I think the second question that we can ask ourselves is revealed in this one little bitty verse. I believe the second question to discover our purpose, right behind what breaks my heart, is revealed in this verse. What drives me to my knees? If we're following Jesus, if we've surrendered our life to God and we've said, God, you know, I want to serve you, I want to give my life to you, there's going to be something in our life that breaks our heart. There's going to be something that we see and is revealed to us, and it's going to break our heart. But then secondly, if God is the authority in our life and we really do believe God answers our prayers, there are things that we find ourselves praying about. And when we pray about those things, not just pray about it like, Lord, you know, be with those people over there. When we start really genuinely praying about that, we find ourselves in the morning getting our coffee ready and we're bothered by something. And then we find ourselves doing these whisper prayers throughout the day when we see something. That starts to reveal our purpose. What breaks our heart, but then what takes us to our knees and what do we continue to appeal to God for? That reveals a part of our purpose. And that's being revealed to Nehemiah because he gets on his face and his knees and he's praying to God day after day and he goes without food and he fasts and he sacrifices and he appeals to God. And listen to his appeal. He says, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. He is like buttering up the Lord at this point, right? He's like, Lord, you're just amazing. Let your ear, God, be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer that your servant Nehemiah is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. And then Nehemiah does something really strange here. He takes ownership. There's a whole leadership lesson in this I'm not going to unpack in this moment, but Nehemiah takes ownership for the sins of an entire people group. Look at what he says. He says, God, I confess the sins, not that those people did. He jumps in with them. He said, I confess the sins that we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, that we've committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the commands and decrees and the law that you gave your servant Moses. And then he goes, remember the instruction that you gave your servant Moses, saying that if you're unfaithful, God, you promised that you would scatter them among the nations. But if we would return to you and obey your commands, then even if your exiled people are in the furthest horizon, God, that you would gather them from there and you would bring them back to this place, the place of Jerusalem, where its walls were torn down. I've chosen as the place that you've chosen as a dwelling place for your name. Well, they are your servants, God, and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and by your mighty hand. And now the request comes from Nehemiah. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. God, would you please listen to me? God, would your ear be attentive to me? I'm coming to you and I'm asking. See what he's doing? He's on his face, he's on his hands and his knees. And God's revealed to him what broke his heart and now what he's praying for. And he's like, God, would you super please? God, this is bad. I'm asking you to intervene. Lord, give your servant success today, because Nehemiah knows his purpose. It's being revealed to him. He knows what breaks his heart. He knows what he's praying for. And he says, God, I know I have responsibility in this. I know you're asking me to do something. I'm not just asking you to do all the work. God, I will do my part. So God, will you please give your servant success today? Would you give me, Nehemiah, your servant, would you give me success today as I go to the king? And would you grant me favor in the presence of the king, because I'm going to the king and I'm going to ask for something huge. And then Nehemiah tells us, I think, the answer to the third question. Nehemiah tells us, hey, he's kept this a mystery up until this point. And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I was the cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah says, yeah, like, let me just tell you what's happening. And scholars believe that Ezra was writing all this down, and Nehemiah is like telling him, you know, what's going on. And Ezra's scribing this book. And Nehemiah says, oh, don't forget to tell them that I was cupbearer to the king. My job was to drink the wine before the king drank the wine, so that if the wine was poisoned, I would die instead of the king. How will you like that job? You think your job stinks going back to work on Tuesday? Try that one on. Nehemiah says, I was cupbearer to the king. I had an audience with the king. The king trusted me because I drank his wine and tasted his food, and I was the one who was going to die before him. So he trusted me. The answer to the third question, if we want to discover our purpose and figure out if we're on track with our purpose and doing the thing that God has called us to do, this third question is revealed, I think, in Nehemiah's job description when he says, I was cupbearer to the king. That third question is this: what do I have? What do I have? Nehemiah knew that the walls had been torn down. He knew what broke his heart. He knew what he was praying for. And he looked and he's like, yeah, but I got no building materials. Like, I'm not really even good with hammer and nails. I didn't take any of those engineering classes in high school. I really wish I would have now. Like, I don't know what to do. But Nehemiah goes, I have a job, and I'm the cupbearer to the king. The king, trust me, I know what I'll do. I'll go to the king, and I'll ask him. You want to know your purpose? Maybe you already know. Maybe that lunch conversation is super easy for you. What's your purpose? I can eat a bratwurst in one hand and tell you my purpose. And how long do you got? Like, this is going to be the bratwurst and apple pie story because I know my purpose. I can tell you very specifically what it is. Maybe that's you. And that's awesome. I want to celebrate that. But more often than not, the story that I hear is that people going, yeah, I don't really know. Yeah, I know what these other people, I know what their purpose is, and I know what they do, and they're really good at it, but I don't know mine. What breaks your heart? What do you find yourself praying for at odd times? And what do you have? What do you got? What do you got laying in front of you? What's your job? What do you have at your house? What's your role? What do you do? Who do you know? You know, a lot of this in Nehemiah's story was who he knew. Who do you know that knows somebody that knows somebody? This idea of living on purpose is not something that we're going to let go of. This is something that's here to stay for us as a church. We've actually been talking about this for years, but we're turning up the heat on this idea of purpose. Corporately, as a church, certainly, because God has a plan and a mission that no one would perish without knowing who he is and having access to him, having access to his word and the truth. But then also for us as individuals, what does that look like for us? Because if all of us come together and lived our lives on purpose, what would that look like in our community? What would that look like in the lives of the people around us? I've had the privilege recently of getting to see a story of someone who followed the same journey that we just walked through with Nehemiah. And God revealed his purpose for this season in life to them. And rather than me tell you that story, I want to let you watch it for yourself. Watch this.
My name is Tara Carlisle. My husband and my three children have been going to WCC for 20 years. It's hard to believe. Started at McLean, moved to Lakeview, and then now we're at the big church. I had stopped working and was staying home with the kids about 5 or 6 years ago, and I remember I'd gone into the elementary where my kiddos are, and my friend was the school nurse. So I sat down, I was talking to her, and I would see multiple kids like come in, and she was just always running around, and I'm like, wow, that a lot of kids pass through here in a day. She's like, oh, you have no idea. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, Tara, she's like, I give kids granola bars in the morning. Some of these kids don't know where they're going to sleep that night. She's like, I give them toothbrushes. They brush their teeth here. We give them coats. And I just sat there kind of like, who am I and where have I been? Like, what, this is happening like right in our elementary, like right here in our backyard. And I just felt overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, like I knew I had to get involved, like somehow. I have no idea how, but I just felt like something I needed to get involved. So I went home and I'd always kind of prayed, you know, break my heart for what breaks yours. I just, you know, how do you take that step? Like why wouldn't I? I mean, why wouldn't I go out there and try it? I mean, I love kids. It's something that's wrong is happening. And what do I have to lose, right? So how ACASA gets involved is, first of all, ACASA, because I didn't know any of this when I agreed to do this crazy venture. But ACASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate. So you're not a lawyer, you're not a counselor, you're not a psychologist, you're a special advocate to this child. So when you get to the courtroom, what they found is you have the lawyers there, you have the parents, you have DCS, you have Bowen, but you don't have the child because the child doesn't get in the court. So that's when they realized we need someone to step in that gap, someone to fill that void, someone who can step in there and be the voice of the child. So that's essentially what ACASA is. You just start out by just getting to know them, just hang out with them, play with them, color with them. What I found, or we were taught, which is really great, is you play a game. Because if you just sit there and look at a kid, like they're not gonna tell you anything. But if you get a deck of cards out and you just play garbage or go fish or it doesn't even matter, all of a sudden they're talking to you. You know, they don't even realize what they're doing. But so play a game with them and just kind of break the walls and get to know them a little bit. I think what's cool is, you know, when I'm talking to this 14-year-old, I realized then that he knew I was listening. Like I was just listening to him, because when you've been kind of jostled around and moved to different places and here and there, and he feels like he's always chosen last, like picked over drugs or alcohol or different things like that, that they, I think he felt like he didn't have a voice anymore. Like no one was listening to what he was saying. And so I could just sit there and listen. I didn't need to solve it. I didn't need to counsel him. I didn't need to do anything like that. I just needed to listen. After he told me a bunch of stories, he looked at me and he goes, I'm not gonna do that. And he goes, I wanna be a good man. And I mean, I literally about cried right there in the living room. And he goes, I get good grades. I'm in sports. He goes, I'm not gonna do that. And I don't wanna be involved in that anymore. And I could just sit there and listen. I didn't need to solve it. I didn't need to counsel him. I didn't need to do anything like that. I just needed to listen. And then I could then do the best thing ever, and that's be his voice in the courtroom so the judge could hear and people who are making decisions can hear. I guess another thing about being a ACASA is, I mean, you hope that you make a difference, or that you, I don't know, help a child for a small blip in their life, or that they some year remember that, oh wow, there was this lady that was always around for a year. Like, I mean, even if it's a small, it's something, right? But as we all find, the reward comes back to us. I mean, so many times we do things because, oh, we're doing it for this person, or we're gonna help, or we're gonna save this thing. And in actuality, it actually saves you. And I think that I've gotten to see people, I'm trying to see people, and I think that it's helped on how Jesus does. Like that he loves every one of us, like the same, and that he sees everyone's talents. And to just step in sometimes, like he stepped in, he didn't need to go where he went, and he went. And for us to just go there too, because we'll find treasures that we would never find otherwise. So I think as a church, we have such a cool opportunity that we know that there's a need, and we see there's a need, and we've been told to go out and to step in the gaps, or be that voice for someone who doesn't have a voice, or just show someone that you love them. I mean, we're loved so well, why can't we go out and share it, I guess? So I think, ACASA is just one of many, many different ways that you can get involved, but you know, don't be intimidated by it. It's not difficult. It's just stepping out and doing what we're trying to, what we've been taught to do.
What breaks your heart? What brings us to our knees? And what do we have? If we'll take those three questions and just wrestle with those three questions, would it reveal our purpose? And what could God do if we surrendered what we have, took action on the things that broke our heart, and prayed for him to provide everything that we need to live out our purpose. I love that this is one of those stories that you would see, like, oh, you'd scroll through Facebook and you say, oh, hey, I know Tara and I like this, until you really realize, wait, no, Tara goes here. This is her home church. God has been seasoning her heart here. She sits in these green chairs and listens to the teaching, and God works with her as she sits through a women's Bible study and the places that she goes in our community. And God did that right here. That's not some story of some other person in some place that we don't know. That's Tara in our church, one of us. And there's so many of those stories happening here. And so for those of you that have discovered your purpose and are living your life and on purpose and are fulfilling that even today, I want to say, keep up the great work. Don't stop. Keep it up. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep doing that. Thank you. And for those of you that are thinking, well, that's for people like Tara and for others, I'm the kid who sits and blinks faster and more often than anybody else, and I'm just enough off, and God doesn't have a purpose for me. You need to stop thinking that. There's a plan and a purpose for you, for all of us. This morning, out in the lobby, I just want to point this out because it's too easy to not talk about. Because of what Tara just talked about. Laura and her team are out in the lobby today with these bags, these United Way bags. The whole thing hasn't been a setup for this, but it was too easy to not talk about. Maybe it's not your full on purpose to do what Tara did, to jump in with CASA or one of the other groups in our community that is ministering to the needs of orphan and vulnerable children. Let's be honest, as a church, we're trying to figure out what it means for us to get into that space of orphan and vulnerable children in our community. That's something God put on our hearts a couple years ago. We're still honestly trying to figure that out. There's a team of people working behind the scenes to figure out what orphan and vulnerable children in our community even looks like. And one of the needs they've identified is, honestly, it's just simple school supplies for kids. It's working with the United Way and a couple other organizations to take one of these bags, you scan the code, go to the website, and just fill this bag full of stuff. And here's why that's a big deal. Because here's just a couple quick facts. 30% of the kids in our community, Warsaw Community Schools, come from a single family home. Or a single parent home, 30%. Now, hang with me on the math on this. Of that 30%, 75% of that 30% lives below the poverty line, meaning they need assistance for basic needs. 30% single parent home, and of that 75% have to have assistance to survive. Not only that, nearly half of our kids in our elementary schools are on free or reduced lunch, which is calculated on income, on a family's income, and the number of kids in the family. Nearly half. If that breaks your heart, that's starting to reveal something. If that moves you to pray for that, God is revealing something to you. If it doesn't, that's okay. But there is something. What all of us can do is we can grab one of these bags and we can fill this. Here's why. Because if you drove here in a car today, right, you probably have access and the ability to put some school supplies in these bags. If you shot off fireworks yesterday, you definitely have the ability to put something in these bags so that these kids can have school supplies. It's why, Denny talked about this last week, and I just want to hit it again very quickly. It's why in a couple weeks, you're going to be asked to participate in what we're calling our impact assessment. It's why we're asking you to answer some basic questions. Where do you live? Where do you play? Where do you work? We're asking so that we can figure out as a church, what kind of impact are we making, and what kind of an impact could we make? We're not following up on the answers to those questions and go, hey, you identified this right here. Now we want you to do this. That's not what it's for. It's to say, God, what have you given us as a church? How have you resourced us and put us in a position as the church? Nehemiah was like, I'm the cupbearer to the king. I wonder what I could do with that. It's us saying, God, who have you called us to be? Who have you brought here? And what do you want us to do? And then hopefully we can get other churches in the community to take this so we can figure out, look, these couple churches are going to take this space in our community. These couple churches churches are going to take this space in our community. These couple churches are going to focus on this part of our community so that we can reach our community and our world for Jesus. Anybody with me on that? 12 of you. Awesome. Happy July 4th, everybody. I know, like an assessment doesn't sound real sexy, but we're going to do that so we can figure out what God wants us to do as a church in our community. So, I'm glad that you're here today. Read the rest of the story of Nehemiah. It's a great story. You need to find out. Nehemiah goes through some wacko stuff, too. So, you got to be careful. Once you figure out your purpose, you better be ready because there's some folks who aren't going to like it. You're going to experience opposition, but I'll let you read the rest of the story for yourself and figure out how that turned out for Nehemiah. But here's what I know. I don't care how many times a minute you blink. Every one of us has a purpose. And God has a purpose that he has us on. Let's do that together. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the people in this body, this church body, who are living their lives on purpose. God, help us to discover our purpose, to bring that to you, to use what we have to fulfill not our purpose, but to fulfill your purpose, because that's why you gave it to us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are. May we be a part of fulfilling your purpose on this planet. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Happy July 4th. Have a fantastic day, everyone.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.